Welcome to Kadampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kadampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you will enjoy listening.
Generally, when we're in a bad mood, so think of a recent time you were in a bad mood. Usually doesn't take long. It was maybe even this morning. Like, I was this close from not coming because I was in a really terrible mood, but somehow we made it here. So when we have some bad feelings, we're in a bad mood, we're grumpy, grouchy, unhappy, whatever the case may be, we tend to think of those feelings as quite intrinsic, or what we would call inherent. They feel quite fixed, do they not? Especially the negative ones. The positive ones, we don't mind so much, do we? We don't mind if those feel quite inherent or fixed or stay around forever. Actually, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, somebody who has accomplished enlightenment has always supreme inner peace all the time. That is an eternal experience that they have. It never changes. So that's where we're headed through these wisdom teachings, is an experience of liberation where we become completely emotionally free from negative emotions. So we should daydream about that, I would argue. Imagine our future, like your future, at some point in your future, a day in which you have transcended painful feelings. Why do I say that? Why is it important to imagine, even if it's just sort of, you might think, well, this is just fantasy. Well, initially maybe so, but why do you think it might be important to imagine yourself one day free from those painful feelings? Do you have a thought? It's actually a technique that has scientific benefit. Like, we can see it actually works, right? It's not just sort of fantasy. It actually produces, oftentimes helps produce the desired effect. We could say entrepreneurs do this, you know, people, even people who are training to improve their lives in various ways, whether they're athletes, people who are trying to, I often use the example of running a marathon. So many people right now, it's, you know, springtime, many people are imagining, are thinking about finishing that marathon that they're training for right now. So if you could never imagine doing it, how much energy would you put into doing that thing? Like, I've never actually imagined crossing the finish line, but I'm still training for this. Like, there's a disconnect there, isn't there? So the point I'm making is that sometimes we might feel like it's a bit frivolous, or I don't know. Maybe we think, well, I'm too busy to imagine myself free from painful feelings. I've got like real practical things to do. Or sometimes we're just sort of caught up in the day-to-day that we don't give ourselves time and space to imagine what we really want. And so from a Buddhist perspective, there is great value and wisdom, in fact, in imagining a future in which we have transcended painful feelings, where we are beyond that. This is what we call liberation, or nirvana in Sanskrit. And so starting there actually helps us to start to not only imagine that, but start to get a feeling for it well before it actually happens for us. Not only do we start to get a feeling for it, but what else do you think might happen? Don't we start to put energy into that thing that we're imagining? So we start to develop some enthusiasm, passion, some energy around that. And especially if we have a method to do it. So from one point of view, if we have no method, then it is a little bit just like spinning our wheels. It is a wonderful thing to imagine, but we don't actually have a path to accomplish that. Right. But if we actually have a means to transcend painful emotions, And we are imagining that, then we're going to put energy into that path, into that mechanism. Does that make sense for everybody? Yeah. So at the outset, please, there is wisdom. So my point is there is wisdom in that creative or wisdom imagination, we call it. So putting yourself in that mental space of what would it feel like no longer to experience fear, for instance. For many of us, that's almost impossible to imagine, because fear is so much a part of our makeup as a person. It's how we live our life, how we think about ourselves and our world. And yet there's real benefit in doing so. So oftentimes we succumb to an idea that our fear and other negative states of mind, our disturbed states of mind particularly, which we call delusions in Buddhism, we tend to think of those feelings as an inherent part of us, as sort of a permanent feature of our mind. And on some days, of course, we might think we might experience them in more significant ways, and on other days they feel less. But there's a part of us that still feels that it will never go away. Does that make sense? Do you relate to that when you think about some of our well-worn negativities, whether that be feeling self-critical or critical of others, blaming mind of others, frustration, attachment or addictive tendencies in our mind, stress or worry? A lot of these things just feel like who I am as a person. And so the wisdom of emptiness helps us to unseed this idea by helping us to understand the real nature of emotions rather than how they seem. So remember at the beginning, I said that emptiness helps us to understand the way things actually exist rather than the way they seem. So emotions seem like a permanent part of our mind, negative ones. But the truth of emptiness teaches us that actually emotions aren't like this at all. And I want to use, there are many ways that we can start to weaken this idea that our negative emotions are an indelible part of our mind. The easiest one, Buddha says, is the idea of impermanence. So I want to have us look using sort of two levels of impermanence. So impermanence, as most of us know, is sort of the changing nature of things. For example, the changing nature of our seasons. We can see that progression from one season to the next. Even within, you know, in our climate here, we can sort of sometimes see four seasons in a single day, you know, especially this time of year. It's like, is it 80 degrees or 30 degrees? We're going to have snow or sun or all of the above, right? So we can start to see sort of that impermanence of weather is often a good one to start to connect to this idea of things changing. But when it comes to our emotions, especially the negative ones, it starts to feel like those emotions are not impermanent. In other words, that they tend to last. We tend to get stuck in those feelings. Does that seem true to you? Especially the negative ones start to feel quite a permanent fixture of our mind. And so there's a really helpful analogy that Buddha gives. Geshe Gelsing talks about it in the book, How to Solve Our Human Problems. And he uses the example of a thunderstorm in the sky. This is one of my favorite quotes and really practical wisdom around the nature of our painful feelings. I'll read a little bit. This comes from page 42. Normally, our need to escape from unpleasant feelings is so urgent that we do not give ourselves the time to discover where these feelings actually come from. And he gives a few examples of painful feelings that we might experience. He goes on to say, in reality, the painful feelings that arise on such occasions are not intolerable. But they sometimes feel that way, don't they? When we have painful feelings, what often happens, the first thing that we do is panic. Maybe we don't show that panic on our face, but there's a sense in which we don't want to have the feelings that we're having. And we want to try to avoid those feelings. We don't even, like, if they're sort of on the periphery of our mind, on the horizon, if we're using sort of this analogy of the sky and the thunderstorm, even a little whisper of negative feelings often has us panicking a little bit. And so he goes on to say, they are only feelings, a few moments of bad weather in the mind, with no power to cause us any lasting harm. So when we're not having those feelings, we would probably all agree with this sentiment, right? No one has died. No one has literally died from painful feelings. I checked with some doctors, so I know this to be true. It's not just my idea. I just checked. Is there any medical data to suggest that anyone has literally died from painful feelings? Of course, sometimes people die from the consequences of acting upon their painful feelings, but the painful feelings themselves are not lethal. That's the point. Would we all agree? Yep. We've all lived through our painful feelings so far. None of them have killed us. So even though we're sort of laughing about this at the moment, this is like really helpful wisdom. Again, it's wisdom to help us to deal with the painful feelings as they're coming up. Like, these painful feelings will not kill me. Even though they're unpleasant, they have no power to cause me any lasting harm. Do you like this so far? Is this helpful? So this analogy, which I really like, just as there is room in the sky for a thunderstorm, so there is room in the vast space of our mind for a few painful feelings. And just as a storm has no power to destroy the sky, so unpleasant feelings have no power to destroy our mind. It's beautiful. So it's just as there is room in the sky for a thunderstorm, so there is room in the vast space of our mind for a few painful feelings, or a lot of painful feelings, whatever the case may be. So this idea helps, even though the analogy is simple, and we all understand the relationship between clouds or a thunderstorm and the sky itself. This analogy actually has a lot of wisdom held within it. So today, I had a walk this morning, and I was noticing that the cloud cover, there was just clouds throughout the entire horizon, from the whole of the sky was covered by clouds. And so in some parts of the world, that is a common experience. You wake up and you go to bed. From sunrise to sunset, there is nothing but clouds in the sky. And somebody might rightly conclude clouds are the sky. That would be fair if that's all you ever saw when you looked up. Like, oh, I guess those two things are the same thing. But we know that beyond the clouds is this enormity of sky. In fact, there is much more sky than clouds. If you ask a meteorologist, they could probably tell you more precisely the percentage of cloud cover, even when it's covering the entirety of the sky that we can see. It's a very small percentage of the overall sky itself. But even though the simple fact is like, oh, yep, I agree, that makes sense, what we rarely do is actually use that understanding to our spiritual advantage. Do you know what I mean? So we don't use that when we're having painful feelings to remind ourselves that the sky of my mind is almost endless. That's what we're teaching ourselves. This is what we're reminding ourselves, that the sky of my mind, this is what is meant. Just as there is room in the sky for a thunderstorm, so there is room in the vast sky of my mind for a few painful feelings. So the wisdom of emptiness is helping us to understand that there is room in my mind for these feelings. When we're having painful feelings, we tend to focus on the feelings themselves rather than the sky, don't we? And so what happens is that the feelings themselves seem to dominate our mind. Why? Because that's what we're focusing on. What if we were to use this analogy to shift our focus from the thunderstorm to the sky of your mind? How do you think you might feel? Better or worse? It shows you something about the nature of your experience. The nature of your feelings change based upon what you focus on. It's a very effective analogy, even though the analogy is simple. That's actually part of the gift of this seemingly simple analogy, is that it works when you use it. And as busy modern day people, we need simple things that are effective. We need things that sort of cut through sort of the busyness, but actually provide the relief that we're seeking. And so please don't think of this analogy as too simple for you. Sometimes we think, I want something complicated and nuanced and multi, you know, lots of like layers of subtlety. Well, they are actually there. The more understanding we gain through Buddhist teachings, there's a lot of subtlety here. There's a lot of nuance to be discovered. But at its surface, at its face, we can take this analogy and learn a lot about our mind, about our feelings, about the impermanence of our experience. Are you following me? So the idea here is that if we change what we're focusing on in our mind, we use this analogy to recognize that the feelings themselves are not going to kill me. They are unpleasant, for sure, perhaps, but the feelings themselves are not intolerable. And so if we do that, Geshe Kelsang later encourages us not to panic when we have painful feelings. So that's often what we do, is we try to avoid feeling them, experiencing them, let alone learning from them. And yet, if we can give ourselves the opportunity to sit with them, just sit, as uncomfortable as it may be, if we give ourselves the gift of sitting with those feelings, and then we have a method to work with those feelings, such as this analogy that I've shared with you, we can then start to learn something very valuable, which is that I can actually change how I'm feeling by changing what I'm focusing on. So instead of focusing almost exclusively on the feelings themselves, the thunderstorm in my mind, we can acknowledge the thunderstorm. We're not denying its presence, but we're also at the same time acknowledging that what's actually truer is that I have this vast sky of my mind, space of my mind. And when I focus on that, what starts to naturally happen is my feelings change. Because those feelings aren't intrinsically inherent. Meaning if I change my mind, those feelings will change. Beautiful, isn't it? This is what we call wisdom of impermanence. If I change, it demonstrates that those feelings themselves are by nature impermanent. They can't remain if I change my mind, for instance. Another way of using this analogy is thinking that just like weather passes through the atmosphere, so these feelings will pass through my mind, given enough time. This too can be really helpful to consider that my feelings are temporary. Even though we tell children this, we know it intellectually, in the heat of the moment, we don't often relate to our feelings as temporary. Would you agree? When you're in the middle of them, it's hard to have some perspective. So this is why sort of rehearing, for some of you, some of these things that we already know to be true can just give us some encouragement to practice it again when those unpleasant feelings rear their ugly head again.
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.